Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
All righty. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And Happy New Year again. We just praise God for being here this morning and just want to pray for Pastor Terry. He's doing better. He still have a little congestion, but we just want to pray for him this morning. Is there anyone else that need to be prayed for, such as you know someone that's just... If you'll just raise your hand, we'll definitely pray for you, okay? All right. All righty. Let's pray. Father, you see these hands, Lord, and God, you know what they're going through. You know what they need, Lord. And Father, you're the healer. So, Lord, we just speak healing in their bodies right now. We pray for Pastor Terry also, Lord, and Miss Brenda, Lord. And God, we pray, Lord, that you will clear up this congestion, Lord, and God, that you will strengthen him. We pray your peace over them. And Lord, we thank you right now for those that raised their hand. Lord, we pray right now, God, that healing will be released in their bodies. Because, Lord, we know that by your stripes we are healed, Lord. So, Father, we thank you right now, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How many know the word of God is true? And we just thank God for being here this morning and looking forward to a great year. Amen. And just trusting God that he would just continue to bless and lead and guide us into all truth. What I want to share with you this morning is not a shouting message. And just wanted some things that God has really impressed on my heart to share with the church. You know, is that how many know that we've been through a lot of things in the last couple of years.
Amen.
And you know, and now we're facing a lot of things that what the world is trying to really push us into that mode,
right,
to where we it's almost like the world have the truth and we have to follow their truth. Okay, you know, and I may never hear this, well, that's y'all's truth, but this is our truth, you know, and God has really been stirring in my heart about these things that are being said. You know, people say, well, don't judge me, you know, but how many know correction is not judgment? So we have to understand the word of God is going to correct our thinking when it's wrong. Amen. And the word will judge you. It will judge you. You know, but how many know we're not to bring condemnation, you know, and what I'm seeing and what God is really stirring in my heart is what I'm looking at, what's going on in the world, you know, and how many know we're in the world, but we're not of the world, okay? And Jesus spoke a lot about the world, whether you realize it or not. You know, he spoke about the world, but when you think about the world, I want you to understand that I'm not talking about the enjoyment of things that we enjoy that's not sinful, okay? When I talk about the world, I'm talking about the order, okay? The influence that the enemy is conjuring up through people, okay? Because how many know that the world is fine? It's the people in the world that makes it evil or good. Okay? So when Adam and Eve, when they partook of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, how many know good man can do evil and evil man can do good? So the struggle and Jesus, I mean, the prophetic word in that was that the seed of the woman would bruise his head and it would bruise his heel. I mean, you know, conflict was already released in the earth. And as a church, what we have to understand is that the world is trying its best to do away with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, they are trying their best to discredit everything the Bible talks about. You know, and I just want to share some things with you, you know, this morning, you know, that's really stirring in my heart. You know, because if we're not aware of this, we could easily be deceived into believing a lie for the truth, you know. And I'm not here to condemn. This is not a condemning message. This is not a message to put you down. But I believe it's a message to make us aware, okay? I mean, you know, awareness is a great thing. And I believe the Holy Spirit want to make us aware of what's going on in this system that's called this world that we live in. You know, and whether you realize it or not, do you realize that the church is the only one that God said is light and salt? And we have the answers, but many a times, you know, the world puts so much pressure to where, you know, fear tries to grip our hearts. But I want to encourage you this morning, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. And that word power means God has given you the ability to overcome anything that this system called the world or this culture that's trying to influence us away from the truth. God has empowered us with the ability to overcome anything that they throw at us.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just want to share some things with you. You know, I trust I won't be too long, you know, but I just want to share some things that I feel that will help us to realize. And when I use the word world, I'm not talking about, because when we got saved and you know, everything was worldly. You couldn't go to a ball game. You couldn't go to a picnic. I don't know if y'all came up, but it was just, everything was just, no, that's worldly. But that's not what I'm talking about, okay? So be at ease. I mean, you know, we need to enjoy life, okay? But we need to do it in a godly way. We don't need to let the world influence us to do it its way. I don't have to get mad and go off and shoot up everything to say I'm fulfilling. No, that's not the will of God. I don't need to be cussing and raising. That's not the will of God. Amen? I mean, you know, I need to disperse love. Okay? But see, what the world wants us to do, I mean, you know, the world is trying to set the standard for the church to live by. The world wants to dictate to us, well, you know, if you're a Christian, you'll do this. If you're a Christian, you'll do that. But then when we say that if you are not saved, you need to be born again, well, you judge me. No, I'm just telling you what you need to do. See, and that's the problem that we're facing in this society. The culture is trying its best to shrink the church into its mold so that they can begin to dictate everything that we do. And how many know that we're not our own? We're to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's why it's so important to know the voice of God. You know, and I thank God for the class, because that's going to equip us. See, we got to quit taking, I don't need that. But how many know the Bible says that we need to be equipped in the things of God? So this morning, I just want to try to equip you and make you aware of some things that's going on, okay? And one thing that the enemy is trying his best to do is to discredit a holy lifestyle, the purity of the church. You know, what the enemy wants us to think, that anything goes. It's okay. Grace covers it. But that's not the truth. Another thing they're trying to say that, well, you know, you got to separate, you know, the church, you know, you got to understand the church, it should be loving people. It shouldn't be condemning people. It shouldn't be correcting people. But see, how many know that even as a father, we correct our children when they do wrong? And that's the way God is about us. He will correct us. He's not condemning us. Matter of fact, it's proof that you are a son, a daughter of God when he corrects you. Why? Because you'll be partake of his holiness when he corrects you or discipline you. And I know that these words are not popular in our day and time, because no one wants to be disciplined, but every other religion that we see in this world, they don't mind discipline their members. Amen. You know, how many know that they don't mind? Look, this is the way it is right here. Now, I'm not trying to preach legalism, but I'm trying to preach relationship. Because our relationship with God reflects who we are with him. See, I can't say I have a relationship with God and hate my brother who I see. That don't work. Amen. The Bible said, how can you say you have the love of God when you can't even love your brother who you see? Jesus went a little further. He said, I give you a new commandment, that ye shall love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than a man lay down his life for a friend. This is how the world would know that you are my disciples, that ye have what? Love for one another. See, but the world want to separate that. Okay? Let's go to 1 John here. 1 John. You know, I want to just equip and just make you aware of not, this is not something I'm trying to condemn. I'm not trying to preach legalistic to you. How many know it's not about the do's and don'ts? It's just obeying the Spirit of God. Okay? You know, so don't feel like, well, you know, you're trying to put a yoke on me. No, I'm trying to get you yoked up with Jesus. Because Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, but the world want to tell us, you know, his burden is heavy. His commandments are not grievous. God want to light the load. That's right. Amen? Amen? But we have to learn of him. 1 John 4:1 said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Say, well, you know, I can come to God any kind of way. You know, we all serve the same God. That's not true. How many know there's only one true living God? Amen. Amen? And he was manifested through Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus is not from God. This is a spirit of the Antichrist. The word anti means to oppose. Oppose. Okay? Or to twist. To oppose what? To oppose the will of God. To oppose the truth. This is what the anti means, to oppose. To be against. And how many know what we're seeing in the world today is what? Everybody is against what? The truth. Everybody's against who? Christ. You know, they try to, well, you know, that's just the way y'all believe. How many know the Bible said there is no other way that we can be saved except through who? Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Okay? So the Antichrist, that spirit. Now, I know there's going to be a greater manifestation of the Antichrist, but how many know that spirit has already been loosed? Okay? Of which you have heard that is coming. Now listen to this. Which you have heard is coming and now is already in the world. I'm not saying, it's just not something to be afraid. I'm not trying to make you fearful. You know, but I want you to be aware that there's two spirits. There's the Holy Spirit, and we know that there's the demonic spirits, and there's the devil that does what? He has ranks just like God does. Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. What else? Spiritual what? Wickedness. And see, in these high places. See, and what we're seeing today, if what we're seeing is these spirits are begin to do what? Have influence. And we have to wake up as a church and begin to have discernment and have influence by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not that we hate, not that we fight, not that we go against flesh and blood, but we begin to see the spirit that's operating, that's got trying to have influence. Okay? And we have to begin to be bold, not trying to get on a soapbox and protest and do all these things, but we have to be bold enough to say, that is not the truth. That is not who I am. See, and their going as far is trying to mess with genders. Well, you can be whatever gender you want to be. No, God created male and female. He did not create a man and man and man or woman and woman. No, he did not create that. In the beginning, he said he created male and female. That's God's way of doing it. And I know that we're living in a time that this, I mean, it can be devastating to stand up for the truth. And that's okay. You know why? Because heaven is backing us. But I want to just tell you, these are not these things that they're trying to force. Somebody have to voice the truth. And it's all because of what? The anti-spirit, the influence that's trying to undermine the truth of what God has already established, a man and a woman that will produce a family. Not some science lab trying to create something out of something to make it fit, to make it seem like this is what God is doing. No, how many know that that is not the truth? And we have to understand, church, that these influences is not for us to get in a flesh and blood battle. We got to look at the spirit. We need to begin to examine the spirit that's trying to have this territory, you know, trying to be rule over in the area and begin to go at war against that spirit. Because many a times, whether you realize it or not, there are spirits that's trying to shut the mouths of the men and women of God. They're trying to lock down everything that they, and the enemy know that if they get this truth out, hey, we doomed, brothers. It's over for us. But how many know it is over for them? How many know we're going to win? But he don't want us to know that. All the things that you see that's going on, and I'm not, trust me, I'm not trying to bring a condemnation or anything or to make you fearful. I just want to make you aware. Amen. That the influence of the enemy, that's why even our children that is trying to infiltrate them with these old crazy thinkings. And I get to that in a minute. Okay? For verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world, or he who is in the world. How many know we quote that scripture and it sounds so spiritual and so good, but do you realize what it's really saying? That greater is he that is in you than the influence that's in this world. That the culture is trying to squeeze you into its mold. It's greater. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you is greater. You have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we will know the things that are freely given to us of God. Say, but the world wants us to think that, you know, it's all about this emotional experience. When, how many know, you can have an emotional experience, but how many know it needs to be motivated by the Spirit of God? I need to be excited about the revelation of Jesus Christ. I need to be excited about the revelation of who I am in him. I need to be excited about the joy, amen, that when the world is all sad, that I can have joy, I can have peace. Why? Because it's my inheritance. They are of the world, therefore speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. But by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Do you not know that the spirit of error is so close to the truth, if you don't have discernment, you can accept the error? That's why when they don't teach people to just dictate or just figure out if it's false, if it's phony money or not. They teach them so much about the real to where they know the real so much that when a fake come across, they immediately know. And that's what the Holy Spirit want to do to us. He want to keep revealing, keep teaching us, keep educating us to where when the false come, we know, nah, that ain't it. And we don't follow that. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Listen, it says, 1 John 2 and 15, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. And see, again, don't take this as literally activities. Like I said, you know, y'all can't play ball, you can't go to the movie, you can't go to the skating rink. How many know it's all right to do that because God is with you? It's okay to enjoy those things. That's not the world that I'm talking about. How many know we're in the world, but we're not of it? What does that mean? We don't operate by the standards of the world. Amen. We don't let the world influence us. The order, the systems, the order of this world. We don't let the evil people in this world dictate to us how we should live for God when they don't know themselves. Okay? But when he says, love not the world, neither the things in the world, listen what he's saying here. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, see, all that is in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. What is he saying here? What is John saying? That the things that are in the world, sometimes our soul can be what? Enticed by the things of this world. What we see. That's why when we see things, how many know we have to do what? Have discernment. Amen? And he said again, he said, in what? Our flesh. Sometimes we crave things that's not of God. You know, when we think about lust, the first thing we think about is a man lusting after a woman or a woman lusting after a man. We think it. That's just a little bit. That's just a little part. But do you not know that we can lust after just wanting to be wealthy? We can lust after things. Well, you know, I just want a house like, I just want a, well, I was getting ready to say Jones. I don't want to call Jones. I just want a house just like a Hadio Halio, yo, you know, I don't know. I just want a house like him. And your bank account shows you that you're not able to handle a house like Hadio Soho, I don't know. Okay? But I want that. How many know that's what it's, see, that's the lust of the flesh. See, and the Bible talks about the lust of the flesh, you know, and you can go to Galatians and you can read about the lust of the flesh. Because the Bible said the flesh does what? It wars against the spirit and the spirit against it so that you won't do the things that you ought to. So it's just not a sexual attraction. It's other things that we have to understand that this world will try to do what? Cause us to be influenced to indulge in. But our passion and our desire should be for who? God. Amen. See, your passion shouldn't be for this world. And I want to show you why. Go with me to Mark for a second. Go with me to Mark. I want to show you this because this is what happens if you allow your eyes and your flesh to get you to lusting after other things. Mark 4 and verse 13, that's where I begin reading, okay? And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? And how will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road, where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them." Now, the catch to that, another verse, another translation says, when we don't understand the word, the enemy comes and snatches away that word. So it's key that in Proverbs it says, "In all thou getting, do what? Get understanding." Get understanding. In similar ways, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. Have you ever seen that before? And they have no firm root in themselves, but only temporarily. Then, when affliction or persecution arise because of the joy, because of the word. Listen what it says, but only temporary. Then when afflictions or persecution arise because of the word, immediately they fall away. Why are they being afflicted? Why are they being persecuted? Because of the word. Immediately they fall away. Verse 18, and others are the ones whose seed was sown among the thorns. And watch this. Just pay attention to this, okay? These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries, listen, the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and does what? Choke the word. So don't look, just see, wary. How many know Jesus told us, he said, do what? Don't be worried. Don't be worried. Do you know worry, another word for worry is to suffocate. See, with the enemy, it might not be something great and grand, but if he can just get you to worrying. See, number one, when we're worried, guess what? We're not trusting God. The Bible said, be anxious for what? Nothing. But in all things by prayer and supplication. Amen. With thanksgiving, making your requests made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. See, God has got a, he's got a way for us. He's already given us the truth. Now, is worry a bad thing? Yes, it is, because how many know worry can cause sickness in your body? And Jesus said that we don't have to be worried. We can trust him. But notice the enemy, what he want to do is take these things and make them appear. This thing is just so bad. God, what can happen? We still, how many know there is nothing too big or too bad that God can't handle? Amen. That's my faith. There is nothing I will ever face in this world that God can't handle. Do you realize that he experienced everything that you and I experience in this world? Jesus experienced it. You say, well, yeah, you know, he experienced a lot of things before he ever went to the cross. He experienced rejection. He experienced being shamed and being talked about, being cussed at, being told, you know, you're no good. You know, he experienced all this before he ever went to the cross. But guess what? The cross was just the payment for you and I to be free. But he endured much more than that. Okay? So, when you begin to feel weary coming along, what should you do?
Pray.
Exactly. Because the Bible said, be anxious for nothing, but do what? In everything. With thanksgiving. Exactly. See. That's it. Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Yes, sir. You are exactly right. You're exactly right. So we don't need to, don't let the world put us in a state of worrying. The Bible said, come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will do what? I will give you rest. See, there's a... I will give you rest. Do you not know the rest? That's what God is giving us, that we can just rest. In other words, when I'm resting, I'm trusting. When I'm resting, I'm believing him. When I'm resting, I'm not disturbed with what's on the outside and what they're trying to dictate to me and trying to portray to me that, John, you need to be worried about this. No. How many know the opportunity is going to come for me to worry, but guess what? I don't have to accept it. Okay? The worries of this world. Notice the worries of this world. Amen? But how many know we don't have to worry about the worries of this world? Why? Because we have a God that's more than enough. And the deceitfulness of riches, deceitfulness, and the desire of other things. Watch your desires. Watch your desires. Because that desire sometimes is trying to choke the word of God so it won't be fruitful in your life. See, you're worrying about all these things and what the enemy's doing. Oh, I got them now. I got a struggle hold on them. You know, and it's just like depression. You know, I'm not bashing depression, but how many know that's one of the things that we all fight against in this season? You know, you'll be surprised. So many people are depressed. You know why? Because the enemy wants them to think there is no way out when there is a way. There is a way, and Jesus is that way. Amen? Okay. Let me move on. And he says, the desire of other things. All right. The desire of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes what? Unfruitful. But listen to verse 20. And these are the ones who are sown on good ground, a good soil. They hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Okay? What's the fruitfulness? Understanding. And all thou getting, get an understanding. See, you can't live what you don't understand. So it's important that you understand the word of God. And guess what? Quit trying to understand it with yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Amen. See, this is where we go wrong. Well, I done read that and I just can't understand it. But the Holy Spirit will enlighten you. He will enlighten you. That's what he was sent. The Bible said when he come, he will do what? He will teach you all things. He will bring back to your remembrance what he said to you. So it's important, it's vital that we understand the word of God, because then the devil can't steal that word from us. How many here, if I ask you your name, and would you be free enough to tell me your name? What's your name? Now I hear Pat. No, that's not your name. See, I can't convince you that your name is not Pat, because you know that. See? And when we know a thing, how many know you can't do what? Get me out of it. That knowing with God is when we know the truth. See, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. That know is when you have relationship, when you have experienced it, to where I don't care what you say, I have experienced this truth, and I don't care what the devil say, what anybody else say, I'm standing on this truth. Because I know and I've experienced God to the place to where I do not have to doubt him. Amen. Now, there could be some of the areas that I'm growing up in that sometimes doubt tried to do what? Grip my mind. But guess what? Because of a truth I received back here and I read about that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess what? His character to me is that I can still trust him. See, and that's what he's saying here. It all this boils down to is that the sore was because they didn't understand. And when they didn't understand, the enemy could easily do what? Cause worry, cause desires of other things, the deceitfulness of riches. I just want to be rich, you know, and you can't take, well, you can't take care of that one-bedroom apartment. See, God is not a waster. See, he's faithful. But when he sees you taking care of that one-bedroom apartment, he can add more to you. Amen? Okay. Let's go to Titus. Titus. Let's go to Titus, second chapter of Titus. I'm on second base, y'all. I'm headed to the third, and then I'm headed home, okay? All right, Titus 2 and 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Listen, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and live sensible, righteous, and godly in this present world or this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. And the good deeds is not that we have to work for it, but how many know it's the good things that the Holy Spirit has produced in us? Amen. Yes, see, it's the things that the Holy Spirit has produced in us. Remember the Bible says, you know, I think it's in Philippians where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He said, I am confident of this very thing. He which have begun a good work in you will perfect that work unto the day of Jesus Christ. So the good work is what the Holy Spirit has worked in me. Okay? Now, let me back up here, because I want to talk to you just about when he said, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation or deliverance to all men. Instructing. How many know in Proverbs, if you read Proverbs, if you start in the first chapter, the first thing, what is he going to say? Hear the instructions. Hear the instructions. And listen what it says. It brings salvation to all men, instructing us or teaching us or educating us to deny ungodliness. That word ungodliness, let me just share a little bit with you on that, because this is where I'm going to close on this one, okay? Ungodliness. In a religious sense, instruction, what it means is, in a religious sense, is to chastise in order to educate someone to conform to divine truth. See, the instructions is to educate you, to bring you to a place to where you are conformed to divine truths. Okay? Ungodliness, what it means is to impiety, is impiety toward God. A lack of reverence. Not wanting to retain God in our knowledge. And what is the world trying to do? It's trying its best to get us to quit putting God in our knowledge. Quit wanting to retain God in our knowledge. Well, just do what you want to do. You just do what you want. No, God is the anchor of my soul. God is the one that I live for. See, and that's what Paul said. He said, I beseech you, brothers. In other words, another translation says, I beg you, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you will present your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. I know you hear this a lot, but this is important. Be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let this culture move you away from God. And he said, I beseech you that you be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you will be able to attest, approve what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Do you not know that scientists have said there are thousands of thoughts go through your mind in a day, if not more? And sometimes what we do, we focus more on the negative of those thoughts than we do the positives. But the importance of renewing your mind so that you can attest that what's coming in your mind, this is not of God. See, the will of God, we all have personal wills that God have for us, but do you not know the perfect will of God is the Word of God. So when I renew my mind to this, and then when something come against me, I'm able to attest, what do the words say about this? And when I put faith to the Word, guess what happens? What God said would happen. See, do you not know that God created the world with words? And this is why, if you begin to any believer in here, have you ever experienced, you can be going through a lot, but if you will get into the Word and start digging, it seems like it just something takes over your mind. What was going on becomes small and just become bigger. Why? Because it's God. It's what God inspired. And God said what? He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him there was nothing made. So when we begin to get into the Word of God, and we begin to remember what God say about us, we begin to say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are his thoughts toward me. They are good things. See, but the world wants us to think, well, you know, God is just waiting for you to mess up so he can just kick you on out of here. How many know that's the biggest lie that we will ever receive? If you receive that, you done been bamboozled. Because God is not trying to take you out. God is wanting to heal you up. God is wanting to raise you up. God is wanting to fill you up. God is wanting to give you the strength, amen, that where you can begin to leap over a wall and run through a troop, amen? He's not after to put you down. And I had to learn this. Sometimes when you go through, you be wondering, God, where in the world are you? But he's still there. He's still there. One song said he's waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time, just waiting for me to just mount up and say, God, I trust you. I trust you. See, But don't let the world squeeze you into the mold. Don't let the culture turn you away from God. Don't let the culture tell you, well, you know, you can't be happy. How many know we can be happy? Amen. We can be joyful. We can have peace. Amen. Let me tell you something. Do you not know the Bible said that he's given us every spiritual blessing? Every spiritual blessing. Do you know peace is a spiritual blessing? Joy is a spiritual blessing. Let me tell you why. Because God knew that we were going to face some sad days. So he said, I got to give them some joy. I got to give them some peace. And see, you can begin to, you don't lose that. Why? Because it's part of the Spirit of God. You can't lose your joy. You might not be benefiting from it. You might not be benefiting from peace. But guess what? Peace is still there. Why? Because peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It can't be taken from you. But what the enemy wants us to think is that it can be taken. How can you take that? You got to take the Spirit. Oh, well. You got to take the Spirit of God before you take my peace. Now, you might disturb my peace, but guess what? I done learned enough and went through enough to know that, hey, I got peace in this. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to lay down and take me a nap. Amen? And the world ain't going to understand it. You know why? Because the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Amen? It's a God-given thing. But what the world want to do, it want to oppress us. It want to push us into that mold. But guess what? Truth will always prevail. And that's what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, we got people talking about, well, that's your truth. This is my truth. Honey, you ain't got but one truth, and that truth is Jesus. Now, there's a lot of other truths, but how many know he's the ultimate truth? You know, and we got, praise the Lord. Okay. We got people say, well, you know, that's y'all's truth. I mean, well, you need our truth because it's going to make you free. Amen. And I'm telling you, I just want to make you aware that you don't have to take the lies that the world is trying to shove down our throat. Amen. We're not trying to get on a soapbox and try to become, trying to tell you to be legalistic and all these things. But how many know truth is what we want to stand on? And God's truth has been established in the scriptures. And that's where we find truth. Amen. God bless you. I hope you got something out of this. Amen. All right. Is there anybody here, before we leave, that do not know Jesus? You never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Is there anyone here that would like to accept him? Anybody? Okay, let me scan the room, okay? All right, so we all saved. That's what I take from this. And guess what? Because you are saved, you are able to do, God has empowered you to do what? Overcome this world. The Bible said, whatsoever is born of God, overcome this world. And this is the victory that overcome this world, even our faith. So by faith, we keep journeying on, amen? By faith, we're going to have a great year, right? Yes. Amen? Yes, we are. Because we've learned some things. We've learned some things through the pandemic. We've learned some things that God is still God. Amen? Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you for your word. And God, we pray, God, that you will seal this truth, Lord, in your people, Lord. God, we pray that you'll reveal it unto them, Lord. Because, Lord, your word is saying, we have not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to work for it, but we do have to believe for it. So, Father, we thank you today, Lord. And as we depart from this place, we pray, God, that we never lose sight of your presence. Watch over us and protect us. Bless us throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.